Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So let's jump into the word of the Lord. The title of this message is called The Other Side. The Other Side. My heart hopes that I'll be able to get through the verses of Scripture, but you can see it there just in case we are not able to get to the end, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to. So let's lean into this scripture here. Luke 8:22 says this in the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, "One of those days, he," talking about Jesus and his disciples, "they got into a boat, and he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side of the lake.' So they put out to sea." I'm chuckling already because whenever Jesus tells his disciples to go to the other side, y'all know something happens, right? If you haven't read scriptures, every time he says, "Hey, let's go to the other side," either he said, "I'm going to meet y'all on the other side," or "let's go together," something is always about to happen. But as they were sailing, he fell off to sleep. Jesus fell asleep. And a whirlwind revolving from below upward swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in great danger. And the disciples came and they woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he said, being thoroughly awakened, censured and blamed and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And the wind and the waves, they ceased. And there came a calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" Or in other words, why are you full of fear? Where is your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, in my veracity, in my integrity? And they were seized with alarm and profound and reverent dread, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even wind and sea, and they obey him?" So at this point is where I want to kind of start breaking it down a little bit. And he said to them, "Why are you so," I'm going to flip it around, "full of fear?" It's okay for us to have moments where we're afraid, we're frightened by something. Whoa. But to be full of fear is one thing. He's asking that question. And the storm that hit them, it says that the water was filling the boat. So what was happening naturally to them was also happening psychologically to them as well. So have you ever experienced something like that in your life, that there's something natural that is overwhelming you and you feel overwhelmed at the same time? But if you're in that place right now, take this as Jesus speaking to us directly. And Jesus is literally asking us, he's saying, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you full of fear?" Not just a little bit afraid, but why are you to the point where this fear will paralyze you? And so if you're here today and this is hitting home with you, maybe God might be saying, why are you to the point where you have so much fear that you're not moving? You refuse to move. You refuse to advance in your faith because of the storm that's going around about you. The next thing that he says, where is your faith? What does that mean? Where's your trust? Where's your confidence in me, in my veracity, in my integrity? And so where is God leading you? This is a question for us. And is he asking us today, why are you so full of fear? Is he also asking us today, where is your trust? Where is your confidence? Do you not realize that you can depend upon me? Amen? That's what Jesus was asking them. As they were saying, "Master, Master, Master." One translation says, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" Because he was sleeping. He had to know that the storm was taking place. But Jesus was in so much of a place of rest that they had to wake him up. This storm started from deep, it came up, and then it came upon them. I don't know if that reminds you of something. So we've been talking about the power and the move of the Holy Spirit that is within us, and the Holy Spirit empowering us to do something. In this case, the storm came from below, came up, and tried to come upon them. This helps me realize that this just wasn't any old type of storm. This was a spiritual attack against Jesus and his disciples. And so we got to pay attention to what's going on naturally in our life. Are you going through something right now and you just keep saying, oh, that's normal. Oh, that's natural. It's just that time of the year. It's just that time of day. Whenever this happens, this usually happens. Sometimes we have to pull back the curtains into spiritual and start pinpointing, you know what? This storm right here is not natural. And the reason why I know that it's not natural is because where did it come from? Yes, in the Sea of Galilee, there could be storms that just can happen at any moment. But Jesus said to them, hey, let's get in a boat and we need to go to the other side. So the question is, what is on the other side that this storm is trying to take them out? This was not just a patty cake type of thing that they can just row your boat gently down the street on, right? This storm said that, and there's these things, this storm said that it came, it was as if, and can I just put it this way, it was as if the enemy reached deep down below where they were and raised the storm very high and tried to smack it down on them so strong that they would reconsider where they were going. But Jesus, when you have Jesus with you, he does not reconsider where you're going. In fact, he's resting. And he's waiting for us to wake him up. Master, and we're talking about the crying part. Master, God, Lord, Savior, God, help us. We feel like we are going to drown. But he stands up, and I love this. Jesus is always teaching, and he's always teaching us. And in the midst of him coming, it's not that he just stands up and rebukes the wind and everything. He stands up and asks them a question, like, why are you so fearful? Like, do you not trust in me? You know, I would have responded back to Jesus and says, I do trust, but you were sleeping. But sometimes, even that's us, I don't feel you, God. I don't feel you, God. So it's hard for me to trust you because I don't feel you the way that I used to. But God is saying, whether you feel me present or not, you must depend upon me. So I don't think this was just a natural storm that was just caused by natural elements. I believe that this was a spiritual attack that was coming against the people. And so what assignment for us is on the other side that this level of opposition is coming your way? Is there something, and I've been asking this question for the last few weeks, is there something that God has been laying upon your heart, whether it's just grow deeper in a walk with me, go ahead and look for that opportunity, go ahead and try and trust again, whatever it is that the Lord is moving upon your heart, what is happening that the God is saying, I need for you and I'm leading you to go to the next thing, and all of a sudden, you're experiencing all of this opposition. And sometimes we think, I must have made the wrong decision. I must have turned around the wrong place. I must be doing something wrong. And God is saying, look, you're going in the right direction, but the enemy does not want you to get to the other side. And for some of us, the other side is just read your Bible a little bit more. And you may say, but every time I read my Bible a little bit more, spiritual attack come. If I was your enemy and you started growing in God, you know what I would do? I would cause a storm to come to get you to turn back around. If you started loving more with the love of God, you know what I would do if I was your enemy? I would cause a storm to come to get you to stop. So if you are experiencing opposition because you said yes or yup, I'm going to do it, just know that you're on the right path. If you're doing what you're doing because you sense God leading you that way, Amen? Don't be full of fear, but depend upon God. So they get to the other side. Praise the Lord. So they come to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. So they literally just left Galilee, and now they are in a complete different territory. Please look at this, the verbiage that's being used in this. Doris kind of sort of said something like this when she was praying for us. Now, when Jesus stepped on the land. And the reason why I'm stopping right there, there's a scripture in Joshua that says, everywhere your foot shall tread, the Lord has given you. And sometimes that step is what, can I just go and just call this the enemy? I know some people kind of like, I don't believe in demons and spiritual warfare and all of that, but I'm just going to use this language with the hope that you'll start believing in it. That at times, spiritual battles is trying to get you to stop from stepping into that next place. And if I can get you to stay on the boat, have you ever been on a boat and questioning, should we get off here? Is this where we should go? Should we get off here? Have you ever found yourself just kind of going around and around? Should we get off here? You're right there. You're right there. You're right. You're right there. You're right on the edge of the Gerasenes. You already left home. And for some of us, you already left home. And you're just out here right now. And you're wondering, like, should we get off? I don't know. I don't know if we should get off. We just stay right here. We can't go back home. Because we told the people at home, the Lord said that I'm supposed to go do this. But you are not stepping out of the boat and stepping into what God wants you to step into. Is there anybody here? You're circling. You're looking. And then you go back. Well, I can't go back to Galilee. So we just going. And you're looking for someone to encourage you or even push you out the boat. And nobody's doing it. Because no one wants to be accountable for whether you succeed or fail. And so you have to make a decision that I'm going to get out the boat and step on this land. Are you in that place right now? Okay, you could go back. You could. Whatever back is. You could go back to that lifestyle. You can go back to that territory. Or maybe you're only here for a moment and eventually you will go back. But God is challenging somebody today. I need for you to get out of the boat and step. Y'all see this? You see how silly I look? Step. And some of us will do this for 10 years. And we get good at living our life like this because we just don't want to step on the land. And everything that the Lord has called us to do, we will take it to the grave because we're afraid to step into a different territory and do what it is that the Lord is challenging us to do. Is that you today? And is God challenging you, get out of the boat and step on the land? Amen? Place of hesitation. And guess what? The Lord has not sent anybody to kick you out the boat. You know why? Because he don't want to force you to do it. You know why? Because we'll say, I didn't want to do it anyway. But they made me do it. So God is saying, I need for you to willfully step. Well, if there were sports or warfare in the sea, man, what level of warfare is going to be in the land? Nobody taught me how to pray like that. I don't know if I'm ready. And God is saying to you, if you're in this place, I need for you to take a step. Amen. If that's you, the Lord is saying, get out of the boat. This is not a walk on the water situation. This is not the same story. This is not Peter saying, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. This is not. This is, we're going to step on some land. Step into it. Amen? Verse 28. But before we get to this point, let's look at the rest of this. Now, Jesus stepped out on the land, and immediately his assignment met him. They're not going to have to look for you. In fact, they have been waiting for you. They've been waiting for you. Whoever it is that needs to connect with you have been waiting for you to get to the other side. And you've been contemplating and wondering, don't nobody need me. Come on, there's probably a few people in here. Don't nobody need me. I don't know how I can even help somebody. They don't need me. They'll be all right if somebody else went. The Lord is calling you. Amen? Immediately he steps on the land, and there met him a certain man out of the town who was possessed by demons. For a long time, he wore no clothes, and he lived not in a house, but in the tombs. They were singing a song about the grave thing, dealing with the grave. How long should I be tending the grave? This verse right here will cause some people to be like, see, Pastor Will, that's why I'm not trying to step out of the boat. I'm not trying to meet nobody that's demon possessed. If the Lord is sending you to the other side, he has equipped you with what you need to meet whoever you're going to meet. And you are not going to have to go look for this assignment. Amen? So this person, demon possessed, no clothes on. There's always something deeper going on when we look at these areas. The wearing of clothes, right, naturally, so this guy didn't have any clothes on, but this goes a little bit deeper. Jesus was on an assignment to bring this man into a relationship with God. Jesus was on an assignment so that the power of the Holy Spirit can be upon him. Jesus was on the assignment so that eternal life could be secured in this man's life. And so why is God possibly challenging us to move out of our comfort zone and do the things that he's calling us to do? There is somebody out there that don't have a relationship with God. There's somebody who has a relationship with God, but they're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's somebody out there who has a relationship with God. They're full of the Holy Spirit, but they still think they're not going to go to heaven for some reason. And they're still trying to live their life, sending up their timber or whatever it is to heaven, hoping that they have a secure place. And God is calling you to radically show up in their life and set the record straight. You may show up and have to deal with some type of strong opposition, but if God is sending you, he is with you. Really, God, you want me to talk to those people? The last time I tried to talk to them about church, they gave me all types of stuff. And God is saying to you, try again. Try, talk to them again about it, because they may be in a different place. The tombs. So there was these caves or these tombs that would be empty that sometimes people who were demon-possessed would go and hang out, as well as lepers, as well as poor people as well. The mission of Jesus was to get this man again in a relationship with God and get him out of the tombs, and he needed this man to go back home. Again, Jesus steps out. And the moment he steps out, his assignment comes and meets him. Verse 28 and then the beginning part of 29. So this is where it gets deep. Don't raise your hand. Do you believe in demons? Don't raise your hand. Some people are like, I really don't. Whether you believe it or not, it's in the Bible. I hope you believe the Bible because it's in there. And when he saw Jesus, when the man saw Jesus, this man, demon-possessed, naked, living in tombs, chained up, saw Jesus. This is hope, because there are people that when you look at them, you can say their life looks wow. Believe me, when God sends you on assignment, they are going to see God. And you've got to believe that. I don't care if they are high. I don't care if they're drunk. I don't care if they're suicidal. I don't care if they're an atheist. I don't care if they say, I don't believe any of that. When God sends you on assignment, they are going to see God. This man was possessed, as we're going to see it, by a legion, a whole bunch of demons. But when Jesus showed up, he saw Jesus. What does that tell us? That there is no power that is able to control a person so much so that they cannot see God. Regardless of how deep they are in whatever it is they're going through, they can still see God. Amen. And then it says, and he raised a deep, terrible cry from the depths of his throat. And then it says that he fell down before Jesus in terror, and he shouted loudly, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What have we in common? I beg you, do not torment me. Verse 29 is so important, the first part. For Jesus was already commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man. So the question is in this moment, who's talking? Is it the man? Is it the demons? Is it both? Two entities, the man as well as the demons, both saw Jesus. And I believe that both was interacting in this. I believe that the man saw Jesus, but these demons also saw Jesus. I believe that the man was probably crying out, saying, I don't want to be possessed any longer. But also the demons were crying out like, oh, don't you mess with us, Jesus. Now is not our time. I believe that the man was falling down to Jesus, but I also believe that the demons was controlling him at the same time. But then there's this moment where the dialogue that's coming out is taken over by the demons, where they shout loudly, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What have we have in common? I beg you, do not torment me. That is not the language of a man. That is the language of the demons. Because, verse 29, the first part, says that in this interaction, Jesus was already commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man. So there was this warfare that was taking place. And sometimes we may interact with people that are in the midst of something that they're going through. I don't want to drink no more, but that evil spirit is constantly trying to hold on to them. I don't want to do this no more. And they're crying out and saying, brother, can you help me? Sister, pray for me. But that evil spirit is trying to keep them in bondage and in captivity. We as believers, we got to hear the voice. Hear the voice of the child that's crying out. Hear the voice of the drunkard that's crying out. Hear the voice of the adulterer that's crying out. Hear the voice of the person that's dealing with witchcraft that's crying out. And how loud is their cry? Is it a screech? And sometimes the pitch of their cry, the desperation, is letting you know that by myself, I can't get out of this. I need you as my brother or my sister to pray for me and help whatever has a grip on me, loose me. And sometimes we're just, you know, you'll be all right. And they're at home crying out. They're headed to a place where they know they should not be going, crying out. and they can't fight this thing because it is controlling them to go wherever it is controlling them to go. And they are naked. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, and they have not received eternal salvation. And God is sending you from Galilee to the Gerasenes to step on the land and say, I'm here. So why is it that that person keeps calling you? Why do they keep texting you? Why do they keep lingering around your office area? And you're kind of like, you better get you in the mid up under your voice, you're saying, you're binding it. You're saying, Satan, get behind me. And the Lord is saying, no, don't rebuke them. Welcome them into your space so that whatever it is that they're dealing with can loose them. Somebody needs you. Who is it? And who are you on assignment for? And if they can't, you're saying to them, just stop that behavior. And they're like, yeah, you're right. And then a few days later, they're back in it. And you're like, what's wrong with you? Just stop. And we say to them, if you need help, go get help. I know a counselor you can talk to. And for 2 weeks, they go see a therapist or a counselor. And what it does is bring their psychological mind down to a certain place. And that demonic spirit calms down for a moment. And then it raises back up. Sometimes it's not just an addiction. It is spiritual bondage. And then underneath that spiritual bondage is a natural addiction attached to it. So if we only deal with the psychological and we never deal with the spiritual, that, I'm going to keep using this name, that demon will just linger and say, okay, I'll sit on the couch and listen to you talk to the therapist. Oh, they're saying some good stuff. That is good. You should do that. You should do the whole coping mechanisms thing. Yeah, you should get the thing here, and whenever you feel like hurting yourself, you should do this, or whenever you feel like smoking, you should do this, and whenever you feel like drinking, you should do this, and whenever you feel like you're looking at pornography, you should do this. You should do all those different things, and that evil spirit is just sitting back like, yep, I'm just going to wait until you calm down, and then I'm going to come back in, and I'm going to grab you and pull you where I want you to go. And then you're going to say, counseling doesn't work, therapy don't work, and all of these different things don't work. Because it's deeper than some type of psychological thing. The enemy is attacking your life. And because we're saying, that's all that deep stuff, whatever, that stuff was in the Bible because Jesus was like in the Bible, so demons is in the Bible because Jesus could take care of demons. It's a real thing. And if you have someone and it seems as if they cannot break out of what it is that they're doing, and you have them over to your house and you talk to them and you drag them to church and they keep going, it might be a different grip on them. And that means that there is something that needs to be prayed off of them and not just talked to them. Are y'all with me? And I pray that there's somebody in your mind, if it's not you that's sitting in here, someone that you know that keeps going through these things. So we continue on. And when he saw Jesus, he raised a deep, terrible cry from the depths of his throat. And he fell down before him in terror and shouted loudly, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What have we in common? I beg you, do not torment me." When people are acting a certain way around us, is it them or is it something that has attached itself to them? Again, this gives us hope that this man was able to see Jesus in the midst of what he was going through. Verse 30, Jesus then asked him. Jesus is talking to the man, and he asked the man through these spirits, "What is your name?" And he answered. So now this demons is speaking through the man, "Legion, for many demons had entered him." And they begged Jesus, these demons are speaking through Jesus, not to command them to depart into the abyss, the bottomless pit, which is their place of judgment. Now, a great herd of swine was there feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged him to give them to leave, enter into these. And Jesus allowed them to do so. Here's a question. Does Jesus say, demons, I command you to get out of this man? He doesn't. The demons are so afraid of their judgment that they literally ask Jesus, please don't send us into our judgment, which is the bottomless pit. Can you just send us into these swines? Now, some people take this and say, that's the reason why I don't eat pork now. Whole nother area. Whole nother area. Verse 33. Then the demons, notice how this is just happening. It's just happening. Then the demons came out of the man, and they entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep cliff into the lake, and they were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what happened, they ran away and told it in the town and in the country. And the people came out to see what had happened. Look at this. They came to Jesus, and they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, naturally clothed and in his mind, mentally healthy. And look at the response of the people. And they were frightened. Can I tell you this? Some people, if this is you that's going through something in here, speak directly to you. Some people are afraid of the real you. And as long as you are under the control of the enemy, they good. They got you under control. But the moment that you are free, you are sitting at the feet of Jesus, you are clothed, and you are mentally healthy. Whoa, I'm afraid of you. They even say that. I'm afraid of you. You ever come in looking dressed and everything? I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of you. And some of it is they're speaking truth. Why? Because I don't know this person. And that's some of us towards ourselves. Are you afraid of the delivered you? Are you afraid of the healed you? Are you afraid of the free you? The you that sits down at the feet of Jesus, that's clothed, which means you have a relationship with him. You're clothed. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you know your eternal salvation. And you are mentally healthy. I no longer need you because I have a sound mind. Oh, I'm afraid of you. Oh, what, you new or something? I am. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We better start responding back to people when they come to us with some of this stuff. Oh, what, you a new person? I am. Did you not read that in the Bible? Yeah. Oh, what, you belong to another family? I sure enough do. I'm part of the family of God now. Oh, you act like you so heavenly bound, you ain't earthly good. Well, Jesus even said that my home is not here. I'm part of the kingdom of heaven. And this is not this whole thing that I don't want to spend time with you and all of that, but I'm realizing that now that I'm starting to walk in my healing and my freedom, you act like you're scared of me. I don't know if you was really my friend anyway, because you liked me more in my condition. As long as we were drinking buddies, you were good. As long as we was going out partying and doing some crazy stuff that we wasn't supposed to be doing, you was good. But now that I say that I can't do those things because I now sit at the feet of Jesus, you're scared of me. Pay attention to your circle. When you start talking Jesus, who start backing up or wanting to change the conversation? Oh, you doing that Bible stuff now. I am. Like, because I'm a believer. I'm supposed to. It says that they were afraid. They were actually frightened based upon the new condition of this man. And those also who had seen it told them, they're telling the people how he who was demon possessed was restored to health because they could not believe it. Then all the people of the country surrounding the Gerasenes district asked Jesus, we need you to get out of here, Jesus, because you're messing up our economy. Please, Jesus, we need for you to depart, for they were possessed and suffering with dread and terror. So he entered a boat and returned to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Can I say this? When we really start moving in the things of God, there will be things shut down that should not be operating in this earth. And people will start saying, you know what? We need them to get out of here because they're messing up our business. You're messing up my game. You're messing up the business that I use. The enemy is using me to cause people to be in bondage. I need for you to move on. You're sticking your nose in the wrong people's business because you're doing too much prayer stuff over here. And your prayer is shifting the atmosphere, and now people are being convicted, and they don't want to come to my business any longer. I need for you to go on to another corner and pray. You begin to start stirring stuff up. But the man from whom the demons had gone out, he kept begging and praying that he might accompany him, Jesus, and be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and recount the story of how many great things God has done for you. And the man departed, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. And so here's our final things. Did you find yourself in this story? Were you the representation as a child of God like Jesus was? Were you the disciples that was in the boat that was afraid? Or have you found yourself as the demon-possessed man? Or have you been all? Some of us can find ourselves at some point of our life in all these different areas. But the first question is this: where is God leading you? Where are you at in your life right now, and where is God leading you? Where do you sense the Holy Spirit is constantly nudging you forward? Where is that place? And as you go on, are you starting to experience extreme opposition? Again, it could be something as simple as I'm going to read my Bible more, and all of a sudden, extreme opposition is coming your way. Please do not just count these things. They're just natural. Every time I read my Bible, I fall asleep. Okay, that might be you, or it might be some type of spiritual battle, but don't just fall asleep. Get up and do something. Well, every time, that's the reason why I don't read. You need to read the Bible. Don't stop because your natural body wants to fall asleep. Because you got to be careful while you're sleeping, the enemy may be coming in to do some stuff. So if you need to read walking around, if you fall asleep walking, then you need to go get checked out. Amen. But if you're walking around reading, right, then sit down. Do whatever you need to do to exercise your faith. Every time I pray, Pastor Will, my mind is all over the place. Well, keep praying through that. Every time I want to come to church, or I come to church consistent for two Sundays, then all of a sudden, something real big, like, keep coming. Why are we backing up so much? The inconsistency. The opposition may give you some insight of the assignment that's on the other side. If whoever this is for, I want you to lean into this and really hear this. The opposition that you may be currently experiencing may be giving you some insight of the assignment that's on the other side. There was a storm that came to try to attack them. These demons would literally throw this guy around to the point where he had to be chained up. Jesus comes and rebukes it, and there's a calm. Jesus comes and meets the man, and the man is sitting down at Jesus' feet. So whatever it is that you may be experiencing as opposition might be trying to give you a glimpse of whatever it is the assignment is that you're about to step into on the other side. So take note of the opposition. Who is waiting for you on the other side? Somebody is waiting for you. They're not waiting for Pastor Will. I'm going to give him Pastor Will's phone number so he can talk to him through the situation. The Lord didn't send me to them. if I can just get them to come to church so that they can hear a praise team or prayer team, Pastor Will, or if I can just get them to experience the love and the fellowship of Purpose Church, yep, that's so cool. But the Lord has you on an assignment for that person that's upon your heart. Do not put them off on somebody else. Somebody that's going through something, they can still see God. Don't write them off yet. Whoever that person may be in your life, and say you, for some, you've said, they gone. It's a lost cause. They can still see God. Amen? And after deliverance or breakthrough, God, now bringing it back to us, God may need you to stay where you are. And that's probably just for a handful of people. You have said to yourself, the moment I get free, I ain't never going back. Oh, I want to leave. Because this is the man lived in the Gerasenes. And he wanted to go to Galilee with Jesus. But Jesus says to him, you got your deliverance here. And these people need to hear the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says to the man, I need you to stay right here. And how many people, don't raise your hand, you're trying to get out of where you were. Take me to Florida, Lord. Everybody wants to go to Florida. Take me to Florida. And the Lord said, no, you're going to stay right wherever he is telling you you're going to stay. Because there's somebody that needs to hear the proclamation of Jesus Christ from you. Because they remember you when you were in bondage. They're going to believe you more than they're going to believe this preacher on TV. Oh, they're going to say, oh, man, all they want is money. But then they're going to say to you, I remember, dude, we used to go out and we used to do some crazy stuff. And now you don't want to do that no more? What happened to you? Oh, how much time you have. 1 week you can be doing this. And the next week, ministering to someone. So God may be saying, I know you feel like if I stay here, whatever I used to do is going to get me. And God is saying, nope, can't touch you. Because there's people that only you can reach because they know you. And they don't know other people. And people in this world have a huge trust issue. They trust you because you've had their back. And God is saying, now that you are part of my kingdom, use that relationship, love on them. Love on them as much as you can and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what do I mean by that? Tell them what happened to you. Testify. Amen? Yeah, that's one of those silent amens. It's like, come on, Pastor Will. I'm really trying to get out of here. Because there's some people that God has for you to minister to. And God's with you. There's a difference between the people that's afraid of you because you're free now and the ones that's like, what happened to you? Ah, that's the person that the Lord wants you to minister to. Amen? Because they're open to the gospel. They're not shunning you. They're ready to hear the gospel. Who's that person in your life that is in wonder about your life now? Tell them what happened. Tell them what happened. And don't be afraid that if I tell them and then tomorrow I mess up, dang, let God take care of that. Tell them what happened. Jesus saved me, and I'm no longer the same.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.